play something for you real quick. Hold on. Do you hear that?
Goat fucker.
I'm playing goat noises in honor of
the goat.
Iron Man.
Greatest of all time.
Cue the music. Really,
don't encourage him, Richard.
Greatest of all time.
No.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Nerd AF show. Let's try that again. Sorry.
Tell us more about that, Hugh.
The price of playing goat noises in the phone.
Dude.
All right, for real. Phone, I'll kill you.
The machines are taking over. Hugh's phone is revolting against him.
Before we keep talking, hold on. I got to officially introduce the show. Because
that's right. My bad.
My phone went off, so.
Well, we got distracted.
Yeah, we all got distracted. So, yo, what's up? Welcome to the Nerd AF show. My name is Hugh Johnson alongside co-host Tyler Scott.
Still recovering from Endgame.
And Richard Williams.
Hello. I'm very sad.
You can catch us at Nerd AF show on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. I'm pausing so Tyler has more time to think.
On Stitcher.
We're all a little bit sad, and I played a few goat noises in honor of the goat, Iron Man.
Dude, sad nothing. That was amazing.
Yeah, but he's still gone.
Right, I was sad about it
for like a good solid week or so. I'd had my mourning period, right. And once again, we're coming back to it. And
yeah,
it's like,
I'm not
it
sad
was
anymore.
So good.
He's the goat. Like he beat Thanos.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was 100% amazing. It was everything that I hoped for, and so much more that I didn't realize I needed. Like Captain America holding Thor's hammer.
Mjolnir, dude.
Oh my god,
that was cool.
Mew Mew. And the best. Mew Mew. It was Mew Mew, and like Captain America with the shield, and he was just like me.
You remember that was in Thor the Dark World.
I do.
She kept going like, "Did she get Mew Mew?
It's Mew Mew." Yeah, because she couldn't pronounce anything Nordic. Just amazing.
Look, it's
Mew Mew. It's Mew Mew.
So, obviously, we've all seen Endgame. Mm. We've given a quick glimpse into our takeaways, but what really stuck out to you guys about this movie? A
few things that I loved. The wrap-up of everybody's stories.
Oh, yeah,
Everyone got a prologue. Yeah. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I also love the fact that it really kicks you in the teeth right off the bat. Like, you come back after, it's been a year since Infinity War dropped?
Yeah.
And the first thing that you see is Hawkeye's entire family get dusted.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And you're just like, oh, that's why it sucked so bad the first time.
Yeah. Right.
Plus, I love the themes of, the family and sacrifice and together and all of this, all these great themes coming together.
Yeah.
Particularly for Thor. I love
Thor. He had a great story.
I love Thor so much. And I think, arguably, Thor lost the most over the over this.
Well.
Dude.
Well.
Hold up. He lost.
He has a chance to get it back. It's not like he had a 5-year-old daughter or anything.
Okay. Iron Man left on top at that point.
Yeah.
But, just seeing the redemption stories with Thor, seeing the closure for Captain America, and watching the shield get passed on.
Sam Wilson.
Ah, so cool. Wasn't sure if it was going to be him or Bucky. And so the entire time, I was just like, okay.
I love how Bucky was just like, you take it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go.
Well, Bucky's just like, nah, man, I'm cool. I've got the arm. Like,
you have a metal arm?
That's right. He does still have the arm.
Now, he talked to you could tell, because he's like this. He goes, wait, you're taking all this stupid with you. Him and Cap talked before.
That's true.
Yeah,
it probably happened.
Anyway, I could tell before he got in that machine. Mm-hmm. He was just like, that's why he was like, go ahead, I already know what's going on.
Yeah. So I loved it, man. Loved it. There was only a couple of things that really threw me off that I didn't like as much. And really it just came down to, I don't think they did a good enough job explaining how time travel worked in their side of the universe.
I agree with that part.
And I felt like, as much as I absolutely adore the part when all the women are freaking charging through the lines and just wrecking face.
Preach.
I still feel like it was a little forced.
No.
Not that it shouldn't have been done, but just that it felt a little heavy-handed in how they brought it all together.
Especially since Captain Marvel was laughably underused in this film.
Oh my
gosh,
yeah.
What
happened?
Like, Stephanie, my fiance, was just like, hey, where the hell is Captain Marvel? Like,
she's
2 hours
OP.
In.
Mm-hmm.
She is OP, but I wanted to see her a lot more
too.
Of her.
I'm going to agree with you on that, but she is overpowered. And I, Look, there is no easy way the Russo brothers wrote this. They didn't write the movie. Someone else wrote it, but to direct it in that way. But she's so overpowered. She could have went up in there and just, like, beat everyone to death. And for real. I kind of...
Which is what she wanted to do at the beginning of the movie, which was amazing. Well,
which they kind of... She kind of did. Oh, yeah. She got him in a headlock. She wrecked face. And Thor chopped his head off, you know.
And even when he headbutts her later in the movie, she's just staring at him like, what you got, bitch?
Right. And it took a power...
Power stone.
Took a power stone, which, okay, I got
to
give...
To get punched at her.
We got to give Thanos some credit for his problem-solving skills to okay, fine, grabs the other stone and then punches
her. We got to give the Russo bros credit for not just burying Thanos. He looked like a badass in this. Yeah. Again, the fact that, you know, there's that whole part where Cap wields Mjolnir, you know, Thor's hammer. Mm-hmm. He, like, hits him with, like, a huge combo. Thanos gets up. Gets pissed and breaks his shield.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. Like, Thanos is such a cool character. Oh, my goodness.
And even just the intro part where the three, Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America, are walking towards Thanos, and Thanos is just like, you couldn't live with your failure. It was like,
right.
Oh, this is going to go down. Yeah.
I was so excited.
You remember that's the first fight in Avengers? It's those three, right? Like, isn't that the first fight?
They fight each other.
Yeah, they fight each other. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
And,
I feel like there's a full circle.
Infinity War?
No, in 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was like the callback to say, here are the original three.
Right.
And there's still the three facing the major threat. So it was so beautiful.
It was a fantastic movie.
Okay, I had a few questions before we started the podcast. I'm going to bring it back. First off, did you cry?
I did. Like when Spider-Man hugged him and just... Oh my god, when he came back and then Tony just hugged, I was like, oh my god, this did not just happen. Anyway, I loved it when I saw Black Panther.
When all the slavering portals start opening up, and everyone just starts coming through, I cried there. I cried when I found out that Tony had a daughter. I cried when Jeremy Renner found out that he lost all of his family. Like, there was multiple times I'm just
tearing.
I was in danger. Right?
You're in danger? No, feeling it?
I cried when Iron Man died there.
Right? That was particularly when Pepper goes, like, we're safe now. You can rest. I was like, oh, and there it goes. I have no ability.
And then the whole Happy and the cheeseburgers thing, the callback to Iron Man. I'm like, no.
Oh, John Favreau.
Ether me like this, bro.
Right? Like, there must be dust in this theater. I just keep on crying for some reason.
So while Richard's off mic for a second, I'll go ahead and tell you some of my stuff.
Experiencing minor technical difficulties. Please hold.
Yeah. So I was going to go on a rampage, a tirade on LeSean McCoy, Buffalo Bills running back, who tweeted out spoilers on three separate occasions, on three tweets, about Iron Man dying. It was pretty ridiculous, to say the least. I don't know what his mindset was at the time.
His mindset is he's not getting any coverage as an actual football player because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And therefore, he must do something else to show the world that he deserves attention.
Yeah. So I came into the movie kind of upset that I knew that was happening. And he also let it be known that Captain America did not die. That's been like a talking point for us.
Such a dick.
But the moment I saw them kind of put forth the stakes for this movie... that Tony has a family, at, you know, 5 years have passed and they've all gone to do separate stuff. Mm-hmm. Captain America, I love that he is like doing like almost a, there's like grief counseling, essentially.
He's a therapist, basically.
He did what Anthony Mackie did, remember, in Winter Soldier. Because that's when Cap, he was like, on your lip. And then he found out where he was working, and like Anthony, or was a grief counselor for veterans.
Mm-hmm. You just said on your left. And I remember when Sam Wilson comes back, he says,
that's
on
when
your
I
left.
Started crying, because I knew. I knew.
All the callbacks to all the movies.
That's stuck with me. On your left. On your left.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
And
don't
Howard
say it.
The Duck is like, as soon as you see the Wasp, is like this look to your left, and Howard the Duck is there, like with a gun. I'm like, no. Then I kind of stopped crying. I'm like, nah.
He was in there. So yeah.
Anyway,
the moment they set up those stakes, I knew that Iron Man was going to die. I'm like, this is going to be a fantastic movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, because the sacrifice that this guy has to make is going to be immense, because out of all of them, he seems to be doing the best in terms of you know, post snap, and he has everything to lose, and he does. But it's an awesome movie, amazing. I had complaints about Infinity War last time we spoke. I have no complaints about this movie, minus the minor things you've gone and said here.
Well, it's one movie, and it's so funny how people. This is what's been going on the internet. A lot of people are just like, I can't really, because I do. I hate this when people start. From 21 to 22, which is the best. It's like, can't you just enjoy it? Yeah, and then, like, on top of that, seriously, Infinity War and Endgame, it's one long movie.
Right.
And that just, boom, got split up. And it's like this. I go, I
gotta have another box office payday. Dude, so
yeah. It's not even just that one movie, though. Like, this has been built for 10 years.
I know.
And 20-something movies. Like,
with that one, was, 22.
Like, it was this 22. This was a love letter, I think, from the Russo brothers to all the fans, just saying, like, we're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna wrap up everything.
This is the end of Phase 3.
Exactly.
They're just like, this is done. Time to go into Phase 4. And it's gonna look crazy amazing. Hello, Okoye. When she was talking to Black Widow, and it's like, there's tremors in the sea next to, you know who that is, right?
Godzilla?
No, some Mariner.
Oh.
Namor. Godzilla.
I was hoping for Godzilla.
I'm making that new
look,
movie.
I'm stoked for the new Godzilla movie. As like a major Godzilla person, I'm very stoked for the new Godzilla movie.
Godzilla. I don't think I'm as stoked as you are.
It feels like Pacific Rim a little bit. A little bit Pacific Rim-ish. All these like monsters and demons coming out. And, like,
dude, that's the point. Like,
I guess. Maybe Pacific Rim is like
really
Godzilla.
Really quick. Hugh, are you fighting the idea of giant robots fighting giant monsters? Because that's a pretty core. That's a core. Peace.
Yeah.
I know, but he's talking Pacific Rim. I know, dude. I can't wait to see.
There are no robots. There are no robots.
To see King Ghidorah versus.
There's no robots. It's just monsters versus monsters. It feels a little Pacific.
It's Godzilla and Kong fighting each other.
That would be wonderful.
But anyway, Richard, did you have any thoughts about the movie before we move on to some of the critiques on the movie?
You know, a lot of people, and I agree with. God, who is it? It's Hyper RPG is like one of my favorites. It's like these three Latino guys. They're amazing. I love them. And they said it best. They go, well, damn, can't we just enjoy the movie for a little bit? Because now the Russo brothers are on a tour going, all right, let's talk about why I justify doing this and why I justify doing that. And you know what? That ruins it for me a little bit, because it's like, no one's did what they did, and they are huge comic book fans, and it wasn't just a love letter to us. It's like, oh my god, I want to do this. And they did different things the writers wanted, anyway, I love this movie like so much. It is a part of Infinity War. It's all one big movie, and I can't wait till it comes out on Blu-ray, because I'm gonna watch them back to back probably 1200 times.
Do you see that they're bringing out a Blu-ray of the entire Infinity Saga, so all of the movies from the first whatever phases?
Let's talk a little bit about some of the critiques people are hitting the movie online with. Specifically, I want to talk about, do you feel like Thor was fat shamed?
Nope.
And how do you feel about Black Widow's process in the movie? Was she fully respected, etc.? So let's begin with Thor. The fat shaming exists? Doesn't exist?
Nope.
Richard, you had a quick one. Nope. Okay.
I think we got a unanimous knockout on this one.
Like,
it isn't unanimous. I think there's two sides to it. Like,
I can say this.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's like this. Going through divorce, I'll just say this. I had divorce weight. I sat here, not here, but like when the divorce was going on, played games, drank, divorce weight, ate, did anything I could to try to forget being so damn depressed and what I was losing. And now I'm happy because I gained so much. I'm here. I'm doing this with you guys.
Right.
But at the same time, it was real. And if you kind of look at why he did what he did, this was his idea. And he goes like this.
This is Chris Hemsworth?
Was his idea. He goes, you know what? During depression, these things happen.
Right.
And he goes, what was he doing? Playing with, you know.
He was playing Fortnite.
Right. Fortnite. He was literally playing Fortnite. He was just yelling at kids
at Noobmaster 69.
Noobmaster 69.
Oh, my God.
This is Thor, God of Thunder. I'm going to come over to whatever basement you're in, rip your arms off, and shove them up your butt. It was like, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, hey, goodness. Okay.
Hey, man. Hey, Thor, could you come talk to this guy?
It's
hey,
me.
Nah, man, we're good.
Oh man.
Anyway, that's how I feel. There is no fat shaming. I feel, and I can only. But anyway, go ahead.
I think there's both. Like I said, yeah, I don't think the argument is necessarily that he got fat. That's an issue. It's that it was like a series of gags throughout the movie. Like there's after you see it, there's like 3 minutes of like running gags, and then there's the Cheese Whiz joke. So I can see where people are coming from. Upon initial viewing, I was laughing too, so I'm not going to exempt myself from that. I enjoy these articles because we all can learn from them. I think.
Yeah.
At the same time, it did make sense for. Thor to do that, I think. That's like his kind of his physical appearance is kind of his biggest attribute in a way.
Right.
So I love the way they did it, and I love the fact that he didn't lose weight at all throughout the movie, and he still fights Thanos. So there's two sides to it. It's definitely a double-edged sword.
Can I just
really go ahead.
I just say something about that. I think it would have been fat shaming if like when the thunder hit him. And he was like, had a perfect body. Mm-hmm. But it showed that, you know what? Right. I look like this. I'm still going to go out there and I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to help my friends. I'm going to do everything I got to do. Instead of that, his beard was all twisted. Well, and I could not stop laughing.
Action when they're back in Asgard. They're mm-hmm. just about to leave. And he strikes his best Saturday Night Fever pose. And all of a sudden, Mjolnir comes flying out of nowhere and hits his hand, and you just hear him yell, "I'm still worthy!"
Yeah,
like at the top of his lungs.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like
it was very well done,
dude. It was. I think it's at that moment that you got to look at him and be like, you, "Okay, man. You know what? Like, yes, people made jokes about it.
Right.
He didn't blink at any of it, and then he still is worthy to wield the hammer, regardless of what his physical appearance looks like. And yes, it's great that when he finally called the thunder." He didn't change. He got a better looking beard, and that's about it. Which was good because I had some serious flashbacks to Big Lebowski watching it.
Oh, yeah, he was Big Lebowski. He gets called Big Lebowski.
Exactly. He was 100% the dude. But, like, watching him through this process of grieving and losing so much and his, like, half-intelligible rant talking about the reality stone.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, it's not so much a stone, really, and, oh, look, there's Jane Foster, and I used to date her, and then I lost her, along with my mom and my brother and my home and my people and another, like, half of my people, mostly.
And everyone's like, cut.
And everyone else is like, maybe you should sit down. It's like, no, I'm fine. It's just like, oh, dude, you are hurting.
Yeah, he's hurting
so badly. So I see where people are coming from, like, that, but I feel like that's such a knee-jerk reaction. I don't think they meant to do this for cheap laughs. I think they meant to include this as a part of his redemption arc.
I gotta disagree. There were some cheap laughs there, but let's move it on to Black Widow real quick.
Okay.
Are we satisfied with her role in the movie?
Nope.
I'm sad.
Does it feel like did she get a funeral?
Nope.
That's ridiculous.
No,
I didn't even notice that.
Okay.
Neither did Vision. Like, there's a whole cast of people that should be getting funerals that you just don't have enough screen time for.
Right.
Wanda and Hawkeye
have a little moment, right?
Yeah.
They acknowledge it. And where does she get her powers?
And Hulk does, too.
Where does she get her powers?
Which one? Wanda or Black Widow?
From Wanda, where does she get her powers?
She got it from the reality, or from the Mind Stone.
Right. So I really think she...
Okay.
It's the Mind Stone.
Quick time out right there. Remember, they can't use the word mutant because Fox owned them at the time, so they had to say it came from the Mind Stone instead of being Magneto's kid.
Got it. With Black Widow, though.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, that's okay. I appreciate the full disclosure. I have not read that piece. So.
Yeah.
Like I said with a Thor piece, I appreciate the articles like this because they give us a roadmap. Obviously, of the original six, only one of three, maybe four of them have their own individual movies, right? Thor, Iron Man, Captain America. Then with Edward Norton's Hulk has one,
right,
too.
Right.
So the story had to be told in a certain way, and there's some flaws in the framework in terms of representation, I think, when you talk about Black Widow. I think she, for the way the story was written, everything she did makes sense and was well written. But I think that now that we have these articles saying, hey, we want Black Widow to have her own, a bigger part in the process, and her end game not just be to uplift the team, which are all other men, but also to do something and be triumphant in her own way. I agree with that. And I think that going forward, I think that the directors get that because of these types of articles, and we'll see those changes. We're already starting to see the changes. We want Captain Marvel. We want an A-Force. We want a Black Widow solo movie, et cetera, et cetera.
It's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't happen in this one because the way it was written, it couldn't. And the way it was done well.
It just felt unfulfilling, honestly. Right. I will say I liked the fact that you had Hawkeye and Black Widow fighting each other to sacrifice themselves. I thought that was a great contrast, particularly to Infinity War when Thanos just straight up murders Gamora with a tear in his eye, but that's about it.
Right.
I thought that was a great contrast to be like, here are two friends fighting each other to sacrifice for themselves versus Thanos who's sacrificing for his own thing. But it still is it isn't even really talked about all that much. It shows some sad Avengers, but it's like, dude, she's been here since before day one.
Right.
But Hulk, I mean, it made me sad when Hulk did the snap and he goes, I tried to bring her back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other thing I kind of want to, I mean, I've been listening to a lot of the side stuff, and making it. Like, seriously, all the women on set, it was supposed to be Hawkeye. And all the women on set were just like, and they kind of asked to go, do you think this is fair? And they're very sensitive and they hear us. And
they are listening to us. Yes.
Yeah. And they were very much. And like, of course, it came down to Scar Jo. And she's just like, I think it should be me. Hmm. Because it's like, I'm like their big sister. And my character has done all of these absolutely horrible things. I mean, even before, like, Hawkeye, he just started doing that when his family was snapped. She killed so many people.
Right.
And she was made this weapon, and Nick Fury gave her a chance. And I think it's, like, the backstory, and you got to look into everything to get a complete story of it, why this happened. It makes me sad. She's one of my favorites.
No, I love her. I think it was a touching moment. It's just like Envision. It felt. It just didn't carry the emotional weight. I think that it.
I think it actually did. It hurt me when she hit that ground. It tore me up.
It did mostly for the music, because it was the same music again from Infinity War when Gamora hits.
Right.
And so it was like reliving that all over again. It was just like, oh, two major characters.
And
the exact same way with the blood splatter and everything. And you're just like, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's what tore me up. I mean,
I was hoping Jeremy Renner would stand there, fall in love with the Red Skull, and then push the Red Skull over.
Right. And on that, we'll
float. Just we'll a float. Like, oh, you tried.
Like, oh, you outsmarted us this time, Hawkeye.
So after Endgame, of course, we got our first taste of the new Spider-Man Far From Home trailer.
Yes.
Tom Holland, of all people, telling people watch out for spoilers.
I know. The hypocrisy. The unbridled hypocrisy.
Exactly. So, what did we think of this new trailer now post-Endgame? Yeah, I wish this was the first one. This would have been cool. Like, dude, I think this could have done it more justice. That,
actually.
Yeah. this could have... We didn't need that other one, but no, okay.
It really didn't, but it's... I am so excited to see where the Marvel Universe goes from this point that, like, just watching it, I want to go watch it, like, 10 more times and just dissect the crap out of it.
Right.
Because, I mean, this is the next step. It means we're going to start building to something brand new.
Third phase. They say it ends with Spider-Man Homecoming.
Does that mean we're not starting to build something new?
No. They say it ends with Spider-Man Homecoming, and then it's Phase 4.
Oh, okay. Far From Home.
Yeah, Far From Home.
Okay, Far From Home. So that means they're starting to relay the bricks again. This is like Iron Man 1 starting over. Yeah. It's so just like, that is
10
so
years
exciting.
Down the road, think of where you'll be.
I'll be 40.
And we'll be talking. Oh, God. Oh, God, be too.
Dude. That's...
Wow, shit. Bro. Old.
I'll have a kid that's 10. Oh, my God. Shit. Cool. I don't know, man. Like
we need
a moment of silence at this point.
We might. A lot more Mysterio in this one, fellas. What do you think?
Go ahead.
I think he's playing him. Like, I'm going to call it now. I think he's playing him. I don't, because in the trailer it even mentions, like, the multiverse. I think that's too easy. I think it's way too easy, particularly for Mysterio, of all people.
Right.
It's like, Mysterio is known in the comic books for illusions and tricking people and his big glass fishbowl of a head.
Right.
And we got to see the glass fishbowl of a head. I'm wondering where the tricks are. So I think it's a trap.
I'll play devil's advocate.
You go right ahead. I'll do my best Admiral Akbar right here and now. Just, it's a trap. It's a trap.
No, I agree with you. But devil's advocate, this is Spider-Man's last film with Marvel.
Tom Holland or?
Him playing Spider-Man. And let's look at Into the Spider-Verse.
Wait.
How awesome that was with all the different Spider-Men. I think it could be a natural progression.
To Miles Morales or what?
Of introducing him, because this is it for him, from what I understand with Marvel.
Oh, how?
This is it. He goes back to Sony.
What?
Spider-Man goes back to Sony.
Spider-Man.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, if
at least
doing,
gives
like,
us back our Andrew Garfield.
Multiverse
like,
thing and, like, Venomverse and everything.
Like, I'd love Venom to pop out and still be Tom Hardy and have the Russo brothers directing him. But
they want him back. And I don't understand this, because they're making all the money and Marvel's not making any money. I've been reading behind the scenes. They're just like, please give them to us for these many movies, which has been what? His movie,
Civil War,
and two Avengers movies,
Infinity War, Endgame, and then this
so five movies. But, like, why? Why?
I agree
why
with
not,
you.
Why not Tom Holland? He good.
He's very good.
Want more?
Anyway.
That,
well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll just think about.
That's a really.
Well, that was a bummer.
That's almost as depressing as the whole 10 years in the future thing.
Right.
No, it depresses me too.
A depressing segment. I thought Endgame was going to be depressing. That was more depressing than.
Do we need to take a moment just to cry it out really quick? Guys.
No. There's no time to cry. There's no rest for the weary.
No crying.
Ain't no rest for the wicked.
Exactly.
What do you mean? There's no crying on the podcast.
There's no crying on a podcast,
dude. This isn't the Thunderdome.
No, this is. This is.
That was like from A League of Their Own. There's no crying in baseball.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I was doing. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Swag
Tom Hanks,
Davis.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Sorry.
I got you. I saw it.
All right. So anyway,
I saw it like 10 years ago.
There's no crying on the podcast. Like, no rest for the weary. Let's get to Westeros, where there's no rest for anybody, apparently. Because we're too busy teleporting around the goddamn continent.
Ain't much crying in Westeros, this is true.
Yeah, so we have two episodes in the books, The Long Night, which is the great battle between the living and the dead.
Right.
And Last of the Starks. And I guess we can hit on the second episode. I don't remember its title, though. But I think we're going to focus on those last two episodes. What are we feeling about the last season of Game of Thrones so far?
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me.
Man, Richard, are you going to pass every time?
I mean, I don't know.
No, I'm like, because
you're
like,
go ahead. I'm batting lead off every time. All these topics. I mean, you can.
Like, no,
I just
no.
might not start getting
it. I'll go ahead here.
Get it.
I'll go ahead.
Get it.
I there are certain parts of this story I love. Tyler, I'm now kind of in more agreement with you. When we first talked about this, you said the land of Westeros is no longer as dangerous as it used to be.
Producer Andy, can I get a credit of one time being right and he has acknowledged it? Thank you.
That means yes.
How's that right?
What do you mean?
I mean, come on. It's super right. Do you watch like
all of us gotta agree. That happened.
Really?
You don't agree that
Richard,
the land of
come on, man. Are you
Westeros
really
is
do this to me?
Not as
no,
dangerous
I'm
as it used
it
to be.
Because
or
he at least said that I was right. Okay.
It's not
just
as
like
dangerous
I said
anymore.
Last episode
Sam,
when I said that I called Anthem, I have to call it out whenever I can. I don't get this opportunity.
No.
I'm just saying, Samwell Tarly survived the battle of like Winterfell, the living of the dead, rolling on the ground.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Rolling on the ground with with zombies.
I was screaming during this. I'm like, get up! You just got your friend killed.
He's cutting heels, man. He's just cutting heels the entire time.
Dothraki didn't survive, but I mean, some of them did. But
that made me angry.
Okay, but that was a really
they got job.
But
to
it was
use
such
a
cool
term.
Like cinema
weapons.
It was such a great cinematography piece, though, to see the light streaming across and then watch as they all just blink out. It was so good for building the tension through it.
Right.
But yes, you continue to tell me how I'm right.
You were right, man. It's just not as dangerous anymore. We're having people teleport. This last episode, stop teasing that Cersei is ever going to actually kill Tyrion, like, just like that. It's not going to happen. When Tyrion walks up to the wall and she has all her archers, like, if she wanted him dead, she would have done it last season when she had him right in front of the mountain. She's not going to do that. Like, quit reminding us that this is not the Westeros of George R.R. Martin, which is 10 times more dangerous. That said, there's still a lot of good things to say about the show. I love what they're doing with Dany and Jon, the Stark girls, and with Jaime as well. So that's kind of it for me. But there's good and bad. Game of Thrones still does a lot of things good, but
that's a show. That's a story.
Yeah.
There's buttholes. I will say this, though. Love Buffy the Vampire Slayer. One of my favorite enemies or bad guys on it, always say this, is like, for Anya, her maker, and basically went, you go for the hurt, you don't go for what is expected.
Right.
And that was for Dany, and that's why she didn't kill him.
Right. He wanted Dany didn't to kill
what's her name, her
Missandei.
Yeah. That's why she did it.
Cersei didn't kill Tyrion because she wants to hurt Dany.
Oh, yeah,
because,
yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what you're going for?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
You go for the hurt. You don't go for the easy kill.
I love it.
That would have been easy, just to kill Tyrion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In my opinion, but I'm a story person. I love stories.
I don't think anyone expected Tyrion to die in that scenario with him walking up there. And that's kind of the point I'm making, is that Game of Thrones was... The cool thing about it when it first started was you never really knew.
If there's always
a chance someone would just get killed.
Yeah.
All right, Tyler, a lot of nodding. You get to bat last.
On to the soapbox. All righty, let's talk about Game of Thrones. Oh, all right. Man. I agree with Richard. I think that the story is key through all of this. And I don't think the story is being all that well done at this point. I'm super interested to see what the rest of this holds, because I think they've at least created enough doubt at this point that I'm like, okay, we got a few different ways this can go. And I will say, I'm kind of hoping Dany wins and becomes Mad King Daenerys, because then it would just be like it ends and the cycle has never been broken. That would be a George R.R. Martin.
Okay, she wants to break the wheel.
She wants to break the wheel, but she becomes the wheel.
Right.
And then it's like, that is a George R.R. Martin ending.
I kind of
hope for that. Yeah. I don't think they're going to do it. I think that everyone has been so layered up in plot armor at this point that they are just not going to kill anyone anytime soon. I think maybe Cersei dies. I think maybe Tyrion kills Daenerys if we get lucky. But, I mean, it just doesn't carry the same impact.
I think Jaime's going to kill Cersei.
I think so, too.
I think you're right
on that. That's a part of the prophecy, and it's been true so far. All her children have died.
Right, and so I think that would be a cool peace ending. But at the same time, I'm seeing some missteps. Like, Rhaegar dying. The dragon that just gets killed by three arrows out of nowhere. Oh,
didn't that fail last season, by the way?
Yeah, it failed last season. Drogon took one and he went down.
Okay.
So it is theoretically possible that this could have happened, but let's talk logistics. You're telling me from a ship, he got three arrows off perfectly around an island?
Yeah.
How many different
ships were there? Right? And they all, tons. Each one of them had a dragon killer on it.
Yeah. But no, they just launched like three and they killed him in one shot. You know, totally.
From three different ships at three different angles.
They must be plot-based arrows. Like, they are made out of some sort of
plot armor. It was wanted arrows? They just curve the island?
Exactly. They curve the island. Or maybe Euron just shot it straight up for kicks and giggles, because you know that's something Euron would totally do.
She went straight for him. And it just happened to him.
Well, and then she pulls away. It's like, you could have flown around the island, flown behind the ships, roasted all of them, and been done.
That's her fault.
That is totally her fault. But it's also but it's also stupid plot points. It's like, you didn't need to kill Rhaegar.
Yeah.
You didn't need to have him just have magic curved arrows. Well, you could have had her come around and torch this guy, because that's what she would have done.
They're doing this.
She's stupid.
They're doing this.
But she's not stupid.
She's doing stupid things because she's angry.
Exactly. They're doing this because they're trying to make her angry, which I'm all for. I wanted a little bit more buildup. I love the fact how they emphasize that she's now all alone. Her old guard is mostly dead.
Yes.
Her new advisors are really tied to this realm and not the realm she's from. Mm-hmm. At that party, it really sends a message home. She's alone and she can no longer recover from some of these incidents that she used to because she has no more support system. She gives up an incredible sacrifice to fight the battle of the living and the dead. Mm-hmm. And no one really likes her. Like, Sansa and Arya are hell-bent on hating her.
Okay, that's another plot point, though, I really gotta take issue with. Like, you're telling me that all these people came together for this massive fight, and as soon as it's over, they went right back to the same idiocy? Like, yeah, Sansa doesn't have a reason to hate her.
No.
Arya doesn't have a reason to hate her. Oh, and by the way, Arya just all of a sudden being like, peace, I'm gonna go back to my list, is like... You're telling me we went through all of this reunion just for you to be like, nah, I'm just going to go do whatever.
Can we talk about one, the big thing, though? Her killing the Night King. I don't mind that she did it. I kind of mind how she did it. She snuck past, like literally materialized, snuck past like a bunch of White Walkers, like what, 70 in a grove?
She's been training.
She has been training. Dude, like
she's trained.
Yeah, two years versus like 2,000. Like,
but dude,
how old is the Night King, you think?
But they foreshadowed it in a bunch of different ways, too.
Yeah.
Her doing the knife trick, right?
Her doing the knife trick. Right. Her being able to sneak up on Jon in the Godswood.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. Them talking
Jon is immortal. He's not the Night King.
Okay, but the
Night King. Well, he's kind of beyond mortal.
The Night King is tough, but we have no idea if he has actually any sort of enhancement.
That's another problem, right? We've built him up for 8 seasons, and we don't know anything. I wish we'd have gotten a little bit more than what we got from that whole arc. Like, it's from the first episode. The first thing you see are the zombies. They're coming after you. We end this in an hour and a half, and now we're back to politics. And I'm just like, it should have been the end. It should have gone on last.
It's so weird.
Here's another wrestling term.
Most people are really actually happy it's back to politics again.
Oh my gosh, why?
I mean, no, I actually, this is how, if I would have did it, and if I was a writer, that would have been the last battle. And then I would have, as soon as Cersei, like, didn't send the troops, I don't know how it would have been written, but I would have went after her. I would have went after her. Whoever survived, you all are in the battle together. And then end it that way.
That would have been good.
Personally, that's me, but...
Yeah.
As
long as Night King goes on last.
It feels like it's running out of steam so quickly.
It is.
And it's like, well, and part of that is like, okay, they're coming in for a landing anyway, so they should be kind of wrapping all this stuff up. But you look at these things where it's like, you're telling me Cersei has a chance to kill the crap out of all of her enemies in one shot, and she doesn't do it. We have backtracking on Arya's storyline, on Sansa's storyline, on Jon's storyline, on Dany's storyline. It's just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, it's kind of like how we've talked about with the Star Wars movies. Like, there was a lot getting built up, and then The Last Jedi reversed, and then it's like, okay, we got to go forward again. And I feel like that's what they're doing right now. They don't want to pick a direction with this, or they're trying to cast so much doubt in so many different directions that it just feels like... random. It feels like everything has kind of just been random.
I don't know where they're going with it, but I'm going to stick with it. Of course, I think all of us are, and I don't want to speak for you, but it's like, I'm all about the story. And then, like, after the story is told, then I'm going to go off or be like, I'm happy about this and whatever, you know? I to tell you the truth, I have no idea where they're going right now.
And that's kind of the best part of all this, is that while I'm not happy about a lot of the stuff that's happened, I'm really, really interested to see how they finish this, because I believe they can still make this an amazing ending.
Yeah.
It's just like, but it's kind of hard to look at it and be like, how?
Right.
But we're not supposed to know how. So it's kind of, it's the dichotomy of, I really want to know.
I'm frustrated with it.
Yeah.
I'm both. I'm frustrated, but I like it because I'm like, are they going with anyway? Sorry.
No, I think that's a perfect way to end it.
Yeah.
Well, we got to put an ending on this episode here, guys. So let's run through plugs real quick and let's get out. So my name is Hugh Johnson. You can find me on Twitter at HughJohnson707. I would like to plug, talked about LaShawn McCoy a little bit earlier. I'd like to plug Matthew Berry. Congratulations. He's a fantasy columnist for ESPN. He's the main one. He had a cameo in Avengers Endgame. He is the guy who says, give it here, Stark, as Ant-Man is about to give Tony like a little cardiac arrest. He's one of the security guys.
Oh,
so
that's
congrats.
Nice.
He's a huge like MCU fan, so congrats on that, you know, and awesome stuff. Sorry, idiot running back ruined it a little bit, but... What can you do?
There's always going to be idiot people out there. Can't change that. Either way, speaking as one of those idiots sometimes, my name is Tyler Scott. Oh, dude, there are so many idiots.
Dude,
okay, first off, you can attest to multiple of them.
I had to get you on one. I'm like, some more than others?
That's fine. Falling somewhere in the middle of the idiot spectrum. I am Tyler Scott. You can find me on Twitter at wild, that's W-Y-L-D _ wanderer. And just a quick thought on that, guys, I mean, we try to cover a lot of stuff on the shows, but for those of you who are listening, if you have something that you're curious about or you want to just pick our brains over or start a conversation over, Twitter's a great way to do that.
Right.
We're mostly courteous, depending on the day, mostly me. You got to worry. Depends on if I've eaten or not. But by all means, give us a shout out. Ask us what's going on or, you know, if you're thinking about something else, since we can't quite get to everything in these episodes.
Right.
For my shout out, though, I will also say big shout out to what would that be? Not Activision. I forget. Big shout out to the inaugural franchises coming out of Counter-Strike. They're starting to follow the same model as Overwatch their competitive esports gaming scene. And they have officially announced the first, I believe it was, four teams that are franchised. So Counter-Strike is starting to go the same way as Overwatch League. That's great. I think that's a great sign for the rest of esports as well. So welcome to the folds. Go start watching some esports, peeps.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Richard Williams, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter, the Twitters, at Storm78704. And I agree with you, absolutely, that please let the conversation continue. We can't do everything on here.
Right.
We actually like talking to you guys, so right. You're welcome to talk to us back.
And we may take one of your questions or your argument, and we can expand on it on the next show. And right. I think that would be amazing. I guess what I'm going to shout out is a lot of people were giving the Russos crap about having the first actual gay character in Endgame. And you know what? Baby steps. I appreciate them even trying and doing it.
I thought it was tastefully done too.
I thought it was too.
It was a great like human moment.
Yeah.
So
I do too.
I think it was well done.
Loving on them.
Yeah. All right. Russo
brothers, come talk to us, please. Right.
Well, thank you guys for joining us today. Remember, we are the Nerd AF Show, and you can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and at Stitcher at Nerd AF Show. That's it for us, guys. We out. RIP the GOAT. Tony Stark.
The Nerd AF Show is a production of F420 Films and is directed by Andy Caldwell.